Now, this is reel four. You were telling me that when you got out to France, you never did any entrenching.
No, they were there ready.
They
It
were
was just,
all.
yes, it was after the Battle of Loos.
Yes.
The trenches were all there. Mind you had to walk on the top to get your rations from the front line, and be two of you going for being.
But you surely did a lot of your own trench digging.
No, we hadn't a shovel, your trenches were there. It was static then, and if you wanted a fresh hole, you had to use a shell hole, which the shells were coming over and making you'd leave one place accepting. In 1915, after the Battle of Loos, things were static. You couldn't put your finger up above
I
the
appreciate
trench.
that, but did you have any entrenching tools?
Oh yes,
You
you
did.
always had your shovels there. You didn't want to pick, I'll be, they were there. You never wanted to pick. Of course you had to have a shovel because a shell would knock a corner down. As I say, they were all revetment. After all, if you had a dugout where you'd get into it occasionally when you were off, you were on sentry duty on your fire step. But you'd have the remain. There were seven in a section, a machine gun section, and I was a machine gunner in that period. And this is now, look, please realise, it was before the machine gun corps was ever formed. They were withdrawn, the Vickers guns were withdrawn from the regiments in 1916 and brigaded. And that is the reason I can never find any of the fellows I was with at that time.
Can I ask you this? When you cast your mind back now and think of all of the experiences that you had on the Western Front, what were the kinds of things that stick most vividly in your mind? What impressed you most? What aspect of it?
The weariness of all day long keeping your eye on that periscope because you couldn't put a finger up, never mind your head. We did have some young chaps. Well, it seemed funny for me to talk about young chaps, and I was only 18, but the first thing one young chap did when they come along to us, it was happened to be in daylight. That was very unusual because they used to join us at night and go up with us. But they came up, a few came up, trickled up. How they come, I don't know. They join us, and one young chap, oh, he jumped on the fire step and looked across, and he didn't see anything. He was hit through the forehead and dead as a heron before he'd been there 3 seconds.
But you were saying it was the dreariness.
Yes, looking through this, when your 2 hours was on duty, you were constantly on the alert. You had to be. During daylight, you were in the sitting on the fire step, huddled up. Of course, winter time, coat wet through probably, mostly. But your eye was on the periscope all the time. And if it got hit and shot away, you had to put another one up. But at night, you would take your peeps across the sign as I've given you, I've already told you about this incident of a working party.
Yeah, you
Well, now,
mentioned that.
whether we killed anyone or whether we did, undoubtedly we did, but I can't help that. War is war.
Now,
Horrible.
apart from the periscope, in what other ways was the whole thing very dreary? Can you think of any other
Oh my God,
illustrations?
yes. On one occasion, we went into the line from Salalabos. It's a village, I think it was spelled Saillibois. I'm not sure. It's roughly midway between Bethune and Vermelles.
What happened there?
Well, We went up one night. The old boy is dead now. He died at Hopton. He was Major Walters. We were never clean, as I've said.
Yeah.
But he insisted on an inspection of the troops the afternoon before we were going back into the line at night. And of course, we were all mud and everything else. He said he was disgusted. He was a Norfolk man. Putty Walters, we call him. I don't care who hear me say it.
Yeah.
He inspected us. He said he was disgusted. He would inspect us again before we went up the line. Fall out, and this was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we moved up away from there about 6, and he inspected with a flashlight. Nobody had done anything. Nobody had cleaned anything. We were wet. It was raining then. It rained all the time until we got into the front line. We were with the old big old coats we'd got. We'd got a goatskin open coat with a tape on underneath, but we'd got our great coats on, khaki coats, and of course they were like lead by the time we got there wet. And by midnight, it had left off raining. That was our first. Now, on that particular 4 days in,
yeah.
From then on it froze sharp all the time. And there were...
Was that better or worse when it froze?
Well, it was terribly worse then for that period, because it would have been all right if we hadn't been wet through when it started.
What happened?
And not a shot was fired in those 4 days on either side in our sector.
Why not?
Well, because I don't think there was a rifle on either side would have fired.
Well, the bolts were frozen.
Bolts and everything. I don't think anyone's fingers could have moved a bolt. Now, I'm saying this in all seriousness. If, I don't suppose it would have been worth anything to them, the sector we was holding then, because it was a static job. The battle was fought, won and lost. Or not won and not lost. It was a loss of life.
Yeah.
It was a terrible tragedy, was yeah. Lowe's.
So there was the endless hours looking through the periscopes.
Yes.
There was the dreariness of the rain.
Yes.
Anything else which characterises this dreariness of the whole thing?
Well, at that particular time, there was nothing much more to talk about, excepting you were waiting for your relief. And you were hoping that when you got your relief and got back to either Vermills, that we were in cellars there. That was an old brewery. We were all right underground. We were away from a shell. You had to run if you heard a shell coming. You run and went down in reserve there. That was all right, comparatively all right. We raided a cellar full of Huntley and Palmer's biscuits. And we enjoyed them. We had to pay for them, I suppose, out of ration. Brigade had to pay for them. That meant us. Mm.
But what was the dreariness point you're trying to make?
Well, standing in mud and never being able to move about. You had, when you made a Dixie of tea, you had a Tommy cooker.
What's that?
Well, it was a little tin of tallow with a wick in. Well, that's all you could boil. Now, why? You can't tell me, and nobody can. Why ever did they send raw beef up to the front line trenches in sandbags?
Is that what they did?
Yes.
What did you do with it?
Throw it over for the rats to eat.
Because you couldn't cook it?
Yeah, it wasn't possible. Imagine yourself cooking a joint of mutton on a Tommy cooker. Tell a candle.
Yeah. Did that situation change?
I don't know.
This relates to the 15-16...
1949, I was hit on the 19th of December. And after that, I was pushed from pillar to post. Mind you, we moved slightly, the same front. We moved to Givenchy. We relieved the Canadians, and there we weren't in trenches at all. because the trench was full of water.
Yeah. Was food always a problem?
Well, of course it was. The best meals we ever had were when they sent up a tin of McConaughey. The tins of McConaughey, that was a meal in itself, in a tin. You could heat that up, and it was meat, vegetables, the finest stuff ever. Where the devil we can't buy it now, I don't know.
Hmm.
I'd like a tin of McConaughey for my dinner tomorrow.
Is that what you ate most of the time when you were in the
front row? No, most of the time it was bully beef and hard biscuits. They were made from beans.
Yeah.
A lot. Biscuits, old hard biscuits.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, they sent there was bread in the ration, but it would be soaked. We did get a rum ration.
Every day?
No, if they could get it there. But I'm sorry to say someone went short once. I have never been able to contact the man, whether he's alive or whether he's dead, I don't know. His name was Valentine, Lance Corporal Valentine. He come from somewhere in the Lynn area. The last time I ever saw him was in the clearance station at Bethune. He'd had a brick fall on his head, and so he was only there temporarily. He went back when I got hit, and I was sent to Blighty.
Yeah. I had a question in my mind I wanted to ask
yes.
you. You've mentioned the mud and the wet,
yeah.
and you've also mentioned the food.
Yeah.
And what was going through my mind was, were there any other particular problems or difficulties of that kind, or of any kind, that you remember?
Yes. Smoking. I've got a pipe in my hand now. The corporal and I were the only two that smoked a pipe, and I was only a kid then. We were never short of tobacco. The other five shared the cigarette ration. We had plenty of tobacco because with two had the tobacco ration and five had to share the cigarette ration.
Yeah.
And we were never short of tobacco, but the other poor devils, they'd roll, of course, we didn't know anything about packed cigarette papers out there. They'd wobble a little, we'd hang up it back, we'd wobble a bit of tobacco up if they would in a piece of brown paper or something to make a smoke. But we were never short of pipe tobacco.
So that wasn't a problem?
No.
No.
It wasn't.
Well, that
it was,
yeah.
but it was to the other five.
Because they didn't have any cigarette
That's right.
Paper.
They didn't have any cigarettes.
Yeah.
And the tobacco didn't lend itself to rolling in any case.
Was that a very
common
cause of complaint?
Yes, indeed, yeah. It was. Imagine someone being in a place like that and can't ever smoke. I can give you an instance that happened a year in 1918.
Go on, then.
When I went back. Because I came home, you see.
Yeah. What happened in 1918?
Well, I joined up. I joined.
This is about smoking.
Oh, well, that was an incident.
Yeah.
The last actual action as an infantryman I was in.
Yeah.
I shall have to start the action previous. Because there were three of us left on. It was in the Cambria area. Now, there I'll quote those words that I assure you one doesn't
yes.
know where one is.
Yes.
But we were in a very sticky position at a place called Mouveries. And there were two platoons in a horseshoe advanced position, and we had to cross a sunken road. And we had a lot of casualties. It was on a Saturday. In September 1918. And we got out of water, hadn't got a drop of water. Will someone volunteer? Two of us did. Runned across this, it was only a narrow road, but they were pop, 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 they'd got a machine gun. Jerry had got a machine gun trained on this sunken road. But we got across and didn't get hit. I've mentioned a man, Yates, before. In 1915, but it was a different man, but his name was Yates, and a different statue entirely. There was a great, robust man, this fellow was me. There were three of us pals, Marshall, Yates, and I. And
this leads on to the smoking, does it?
Yes, yeah. But it was next action. We went back and we got two petrol tins of water up the line to the trenches. That was comparatively, we were under cover, we weren't afraid of being hit at all, unless it was a shell come over and a bit of shrapnel. We couldn't be seen. We went back about a mile and got two cans of water. Took back, it was a hot, terribly hot day, and we tied a stone onto a piece, because there was miles and miles of telephone wires lying about spare. We tied a piece and threw it to this chap. I said, "Go, he said, good job, you bet. There's nobody else here. They're all hit, knocked out." And he pulled a can of water across the road, so we wasn't burdened with that to run back. The second one he pulled, that got a bullet hole through, but that didn't matter much. We soon got the water out. Another one, and we run back and hit. Well, we were there till after dark. Well, now, it may sound a funny thing to you, smoking didn't arise there. We daren't light a match after dark. We went back across the road then, all right, asked for reinforcements, they couldn't come. And it was the Saturday previous, you've got to read history to find out what date. It was in September, the Sunday morning, September, of our first big rush forward.
Yeah.
And we were told then, we were digging graves all the Sunday, burying people all Sunday. We didn't go forward at all. That's the reason we weren't relieved.
Yeah.
We were told we were going back for a rest. We were switched to the Cambria, nearer Cambria, stopped and got a rum ration. No, absolutely full of water. So we got breastworks built up in front.
This was at Givenchy?
Yes.
So you had no cover because the trenches
weren't
built up.
Yeah,
well, what problem did that create?
Well,